Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
USA. Xianyang performed at the Hippodrome Theater in the city of Baltimore, Maryland on April 18th and 19th. Prior to the performances, the company received citations from the state governor, county executive, and other local elected officials, including from City Mayor Brandon M. Scott. Governor Wes Moore wrote, "Because of your demonstration of high integrity and ability, meriting our great trust and respect, we are most pleased to award you the Governor's Citation in appreciation of your outstanding services to the citizens of this state." The citation was also signed by Lieutenant Governor Aruna Miller and Secretary of State Susan C. Lee. The executive citation from County Executive Catherine A. Klossmeyer commemorated Xianyang Performing Arts' 20th anniversary and said, "Since 2006, Xianyang Performing Arts has shared its values with the world. Through the universal language of music and dance, Xianyang weaves a wondrous tapestry of heavenly realms, ancient legends, and modern heroic tales, taking you through a journey of 5,000 years of Chinese tradition. On behalf of all its residents, Baltimore County congratulates you on this momentous occasion and is proud to recognize your important contribution to Baltimore County." The City Council of Baltimore's resolution recognized Xianyang's extraordinary cultural achievements and contributions to Baltimore City in commemoration of Xianyang's 20th anniversary.
The Netherlands, Falun Dafa practitioners held an event in front of the House of Representatives in The Hague, the country's seat of government, from April 7th to April 9th. They told the newly sworn-in Dutch government officials and members of the House about the Chinese Communist Party's persecution of Falun Dafa. They also called on the Dutch government to support practitioners and help in the persecution. Practitioners displayed informative banners, demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises, distributed informational leaflets, and spoke with passersby. Several civil servants who work at the House of Representatives expressed their support and encouragement. Four young parliamentary assistants listened attentively to practitioners and accepted copies of an investigation report by Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, which exposes the CCP's large-scale state-sanctioned forced organ harvesting, with Falun Dafa practitioners as the main victims. Other groups were conducting protests on the morning of April 7th, and the police were there to maintain order. One officer told practitioners that he often saw them at the Hague City Center, and he commended the way they peacefully protested. Some lawyers and people who were part of other protests talked with practitioners. One protester said, "We should all work together to protest evil regimes."
Canada. The Xianyang North America Company presented six shows at the Queen Elizabeth Theater in Vancouver, British Columbia, from April 8th to April 12th. Elected officials from federal, provincial, and city governments in Canada issued letters or proclamations to welcome Xianyang to Canadian communities and congratulate the company on its 20th anniversary. Member of Parliament for Vancouver Centre, Hetty Fry, wrote, "Congratulations to Xianyang on its return to Canada as part of its annual global tours and on celebrating the 20th anniversary of its artistic journey. I wish Xianyang continued success in its ongoing efforts, and I hope they continue to excite us with their performances for many years to come." Harman Bangu, member of the Legislative Assembly, MLA, of British Columbia, wrote, "Through breathtaking performances and masterful artistry, Xianyang brings to life the richness of China's 5,000-year cultural heritage, while highlighting timeless values such as compassion, courage, loyalty, and reverence for the divine. This heritage has faced erasure under the CCP government in China, and Shenyun helps keep it alive. Rianne Gasper, MLA of British Columbia, wrote, "Its commitment to showcasing the richness of traditional Chinese culture and artistic excellence is truly commendable." She added, "I also recognize the importance of ensuring that artistic and cultural expression can flourish free from intimidation or interference. Supporting cultural communities in sharing their traditions safely and openly is essential to maintaining the freedoms we value in Canada."
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Ming Hui has previously reported that 94-year-old Mr. Xu Shujun from Heilongjiang Province has faced repeated threats of serving a 3-year jail term handed down in 2021 for practicing Falun Gong, even though he has become bedridden and incontinent due to the persecution. The judge who convicted Mr. Xu has attempted to have a doctor write a letter saying that he could still live at least 5 more years, and it was long enough for him to complete the prison term. Mr. Xu isn't the only one in his family who has been persecuted for practicing Falun Gong. His wife, Ms. Wang Chuanyuan, passed away in September, succumbing to mental distress. She was 86 years old. 9 days later, the police came to harass her husband. Mr. Xu's mental and physical health kept deteriorating due to the relentless harassment and intimidation. The last round of threats from the judge further aggravated his condition. His daughter fears that she may lose him at any moment.
A woman in Qichihar City was recently sentenced to 4 years and 8 months for her faith in Falun Gong. The wrongful conviction of Ms. An Jingtao stemmed from her arrest last year during a police sweep of over 20 local Falun Gong practitioners. All of the practitioners were taken to a hospital for blood samples and other physical exams. Except for a few who were deemed unfit for detention, the majority, including Ms. An, were taken to the Qichihar Detention Center. Ms. An was released on a 1-year bail but then had to stand trial in March. It is unclear whether Ms. An has been admitted to prison. Prior to this latest round of persecution, she was in prison twice for practicing Falun Gong. She served 5 years from 2000 to 2005. After another arrest a year later, Ms. An was given 9 years. She endured brutal torture at both the Qichihar Detention Center and the Heilongjiang Province Women's Prison.
A 79-year-old woman in Kunming City was admitted to prison to serve a 4-year term, handed down in late 2024 for her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Jiang Jian Yi, a former mathematics teacher, was arrested in 2023, together with her husband, son, and daughter-in-law. Her son and daughter-in-law were released the same day. She was released on bail the next day, but her husband remained in custody. Mr. Xu Zixian was sentenced to 4 years and was admitted to prison last year. Ms. Jiang went into hiding after her husband was sentenced, but was later arrested. After her trial, the police took her for a physical exam, where she was deemed unfit for detention. They tried again not long afterwards, but she failed the exam again. The police took her for a third physical exam and then immediately detained her until she was admitted to prison on April the 2nd.
Ms. Yang Shouming, a 57-year-old blind woman, has recently gone missing. Friends fear she was taken into custody to begin serving a 7-year prison sentence imposed in 2023 because of her faith in Falun Gong. When a friend was unable to reach her in late March 2026, he visited her home and found it in disarray, raising concerns that she had been forcibly detained. Ms. Yang suffered from serious eye disease in her youth and was unable to continue schooling after elementary school. She credited Falun Gong for curing her eye disease. After the Chinese Communist Party began persecuting the practice, however, she was repeatedly targeted for refusing to renounce her beliefs. Her former employer pressured her husband to force her to undergo an abortion, and he divorced her several months later. She was also sentenced to a total of 5 years in labor camps. Repeated beatings while in custody severely damaged her eyes, and she became completely blind in 2012.
Falandafa's guiding principles praised at Easter Parade in Australia. The city of Bendigo's annual Easter Festival was held on April 3rd through the 6th. The Easter Gala Parade took place on April 5th and attracted thousands of residents and tourists. The parade route covered over 3 miles. In addition to the Grand Parade, the four-day event also included live band performances, fireworks, an Easter egg hunt, as well as family activities and markets. Falandafa practitioners have been taking part in the parade since 2001 and have grown to be a prominent, shining part of the celebrations. The colorful contingent, with a variety of performances that showcase traditional Eastern culture, demonstrated the core values of Falandafa, those of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. Spectators clapped and cheered as the practitioners marched past. From time to time, people could be heard exclaiming, "Falandafa, and you are amazing!" Mayor Thomas Prince told the practitioners, "Thank you for coming. This is amazing. I'm really glad you are part of this celebration and community. There are so many people involved in this and committed to promoting our tradition. This is great. It is a great honor that you are participating. All the best to everyone." Major Events Officer for Bendigo, Ralph Beh, said about 60 groups participated in the parade, including many community and sports organizations. He praised the practitioners and said, "You are always so amazing." Mark Robinson is the host of the morning news at Gold FM, a local radio station. He said the Easter parade really represents what Bendigo is all about, and the Falandafa group that participates in the event every year is undoubtedly one of the shining points. Fellow parade participant Jacob Amarant was part of the props theater group in the parade. He said, "Falandafa practitioners have taken part in the Easter parade for many years. Their float is beautiful. There's a dragon as well as lovely music. The whole group has lots of colors, lots of energy, which is what we go for in the theater as well." He admires practitioners for doing their best to spread the universal values of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, and also said he would like to learn more about Falandafa. Falandafa practitioner Miss Sun and her family of four regularly participate in the parade. That day, her husband conducted the Tianguo marching band, her youngest daughter demonstrated the exercises on the float, while her oldest daughter was a member of the Celestial Maiden team. The Chinese community first took part in the Bendigo Easter Festival markets and parade in 1879. When the only hospital in the city burned down, the Chinese community raised funds by giving dragon dance performances and rebuilt the hospital. Since then, the dragon dance has become the grand finale of the Easter festival. This year, the third-generation golden dragon, Dai Gum Long, appeared at the end of the parade. Claiming to be the world's longest dragon, it needs 65 people to carry it, and the head alone weighs over 59 pounds. The body is 410 feet long, and there are over 7,000 handmade scales. The dragon makes an appearance in Bendigo once a year.
Shenyun launches tour in Japan. Shenyun New Era Company kicked off its six-city Japan tour with 11 performances at the Shinjuku Bunka Center and J-Com Hall Hashioji in the Tokyo metropolis from April 2nd through April 13th. Hiroshi Yamada, a member of Japan's House of Counselors, saw Shenyun on April 4th. He said the performance was very beautiful and well-organized, and the music conveyed a long sense of history. It was very impressive. He commented on one piece that depicted the stealing of a Falun Gong practitioner's corneas by communist officials and mentioned that as a lawmaker, he has raised related human rights concerns in Japan's parliament. Mr. Yamada said, "First, it is important to raise awareness and share this information with more people. The media has a responsibility to report these facts accurately to the world." He added, "It is necessary for the international community to move forward with laws to restrict or prohibit organ transplants in China. Without such steps, the number of victims will only increase." Renowned actor and former kabuki performer Yoshi Hayashi saw Shenyun in Tokyo on April 8th. He shared, "The brilliance of the performance surpasses the limits of language. I'm completely unable to describe it in words." Mr. Hayashi observed, "The performance brought me immense energy. Seeing a performance like this makes one self-reflect. I hope more people can see it. And don't forget, the divine truly exists." A Japanese dance master with more than 30 years of teaching experience named Amiyuki Bando saw Shenyun in Tokyo on April 2nd with her students. She said, "I was deeply moved. Ms. Bando was most impressed by the dancers' synchronization, which she said was a testament to their hard work behind the scenes. She said, when I thought about how everyone came together as one and how much they must have practiced to reach that level, it really warmed my heart." She added, "It's perfect. Truly wonderful." She was particularly touched by the spiritual elements and shared, "It feels as though my soul is being cleansed. It's wonderful that this is being expressed on stage. I even felt like I wanted to pray. Art is nourishment for the soul. That's why I believe everyone should see it. It inspires me to keep striving and doing my best." Hitoshi Kanuka, an expert in semiconductor equipment, experienced the show in Hachioji on April 13th. He said he was stunned by the opening scene. It revealed to him that the people of the present day were, in fact, divine in the past. Mr. Kanuka said, "I could not help but reflect that humankind itself probably has a higher significance of existence. If human existence has such significance, then we, including myself, should interact with one another with mutual respect." He continued, "If only one dancer was so outstanding, it could be attributed to talent, but the entire team was at such a high level." That made him reflect upon the quality of training that Shenyun dancers go through in order to present what he referred to as such exquisite dances. Former steel company president Katsutoshi Kurikawa saw Shenyun perform in Tokyo on April 3rd. He commented, "Watching the performance, I deeply felt the vastness and profundity of history. It is admirable to me that there is such a group of people who are committed to promoting and spreading this history and culture to the whole world." Mr. Kurikawa said he believes that Shenyun performances are here to save people's hearts.
American and European theatergoers see Shenyun at Easter time. The New York-based Shenyun Performing Arts continued touring Europe and North America with performances in the United States and Denmark during the first week of April. Violin instructor Sabrina Smith saw Shenyun in the city of Colorado Springs, Colorado, on April 5th. She said, "The orchestra is outstanding. I love it. They are so precise. The dedication to the craft is very obvious, and you can tell they have worked very hard." Local politician Kenneth Christensen Berth saw Shenyun in Copenhagen on April 2nd. "It's a fantastic performance," Mr. Berth said. The media reported that the Chinese embassy in Denmark threatened the theater not to allow Shenyun's performance, but the theater ignored the threat. This delighted Mr. Berth, who was in the Danish parliament for 4 years. He said, "I'm actually a bit pleased. It seems as if we are yielding a bit less to the People's Republic of China than we did just 10 or 15 years ago. Today, there is a much greater awareness of the oppression that the Chinese regime not only carries out internally in China, but also the way they try to make other countries fall into line." Mr. Berth continued, "There's only one thing to say to that. We have to resist, because we should not subject ourselves to the wishes and demands of other regimes." He said he understood that traditional Chinese culture, before communism, directly contradicts the politics of the present communist regime. He shared, "I think it's very important to bring traditional Chinese culture to a wider circle. because the impression one has of China today is an impression that the People's Republic of China has more or less defined. Company owner and author Thomas Weck saw Shen Yun for the fifth consecutive year on April 2nd in New York City. He referred to seeing Shen Yun as a spiritual experience. It kept him coming back time and again. Mr. Weck also praised the company's artistic director for his ability to present an entirely new program each year and shared, "It's not a repeat performance, which makes it even more enjoyable to come each year. Because you see a completely new performance, on a scale from 1 to 100, it's 100. Preschool teacher Marza Ramirez saw Shen Yun in Aurora, Illinois on April 4th. She said, "This performance uplifted me and gave me hope and faith. They brought this energy to the audience and brought a kind of healing power. It was like they were healing the audience, making them at peace, and taking away the stress and negative feelings they came with."
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.